and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Lot of soul.
Hello once again, friends of Fat Tracks, Books, and Records. This is Thomas, and you are listening to Noise in the Margins, our standard podcast about the world, about the store, and everything that's going on in between. So, let's get right to it. First up, the information about the store, or what's going on with the store. So, I have finally gotten around to finishing the last bit of the paperwork. Well, I say the last bit, kind of the last bit. So this is the stuff for the sales tax. Needless to say, if you are going to sell products and buy things at wholesale, you have to provide them a sales tax certificate to prove that you are qualified to buy things wholesale, and also convince the state that no, really, I'm going to provide the sales tax to you that I'm taking from the customer, blah blah blah, whatever. It's just another tax, another form that I had to fill out because I actually got access to Alliance. So if you don't know, which I actually talked about before, but if you don't know, Alliance Entertainment is the big distributor for they're the big distributor for vinyls, games, certain toy brands, collectibles, some t-shirts and things like that, but mainly the music, and movies. They also do movie distribution. So I finally got access to Alliance, and I was digging around, and one of the things to get full access so that you can, because when you get your first initial access, it's kind of like a staging area. If you've ever started a business or had to deal with like credit processors or that sort of thing, they have like a preview area that you're allowed to mess with when you're first starting up with them to see how things work. Like if you go to QuickBooks Online and you say, oh, I'm thinking about signing up with QuickBooks, they are like, well, here's a sample page set up so that you can see how it works. And the sample one for QuickBooks, if you're curious, or the one that I saw, was for a landscaping company, I think. So it was a landscaping company. But so with Alliance, it's a general sales, retail sales position, and you have access to all their stuff. One of the things to get the full permission is to have your sales tax certificate ready to go. And I filled out the stuff with the comptroller, I think is how you pronounce it, with the state. And I'm just waiting for that to come in the mail. It takes like 2 weeks, and then I'll be able to do the full thing with Alliance. So I'm pretty stoked about that. But I will go ahead and say up front that had I known that Alliance had... So, let me back up. So I got access to Alliance, right? And I start looking through all the stuff that they offer. And there is a lot of stuff that they offer that I have... Honestly, I've been looking for. And had I known that this was how I could get a hold of this stuff, I would have come up with some way to get access to it beforehand. There's all kinds of collectible vinyls that they sell. There's collectible, like little retro arcade things and stuff like that. That, yeah, honestly, I've looked for, but no one ever carried. So, you know, I'm really excited about having access to this stuff, but I'm also aware that as I'm looking at this stuff, I have to be like, okay, just because I want this, does this mean that other people want it? And I, of course, want to say yes, but I'm realistic enough to go, well, maybe, maybe, maybe not. But, you know, like I said, we finally have access to Alliance. which means that the numbers are finally coming together. And part of that is the question of leasing or buying. So before I mentioned, we'd been arguing whether or not we're going to buy the location or lease the location. And if we could get away with buying, we wanted to buy. And the reason is that, it's self-explanatory as to why you would want to buy your location as opposed to lease it. So when you're dealing with an indie bookstore, you're not likely to put yourself in a regular shopping center, right? And the reason for that is because that's not where people expect to find you. And I know that sounds weird, but when you're going to HEB or you're going to Kroger or you're going to Publix or you're going to whatever grocery store, you may see a Hallmark, like, you know, when the Hallmark stores, and you think, okay, there's a Hallmark store, and that registers in the back of your head, and you might remember it, you might not. But there are plenty of other little rinky-dink stores in those shopping areas that you have to think about that don't really lend themselves to being part of the community. So normally in commercial areas like that, the anchor stores are not designed to be somewhere you would go for a date or for a leisure or for hobby. They're usually stores. The stores that survive or succeed in those areas with anchor stores like grocery stores are things that are dry cleaners or barbers or things that, okay, I need to go grocery shopping. Oh, I should get a haircut first. So we were, you know, so aside from that, talking about buying versus leasing, there are plenty of stores in other areas that when you go shopping, I'm going to use South Congress here in Austin. So South Congress used to be full of really quirky, fun shops. And it made sense because South Congress was like the main thoroughfare for people to walk down to go to the bridge over the Colorado to watch the bats fly out in the evening, right? And so you had skate shops, you had clothing shops, you had, hobby stores, you had tourist stores, you know, Texas stores, stuff like that. And when developers realized that they could make more money putting a Prada there or a Coach or, you know, whatever, Calvin Klein store, they jacked up the rent for all these places, pricing these places out, and then bringing in these high dollar clients. And as property owners, that is their right. And I'm not griping at them for trying to make the most money out of what they're doing. But that is sleazy. And that is the risk of leasing. If you're going to lease, then you want to lease in very specific places that A, work for the theme that you're working on or the type of store that you have, and B, somewhere where down the line you're not going to run into a case of South Congress. Well, this is a main commercial thoroughfare. We're going to knock everybody out and put in Prada. With that in mind, I was thinking that buying made more sense. And it does. It does. The numbers work out better long term. But the problem with buying as opposed to leasing up front isn't just the cost. And believe me, the cost is super, super high no matter which way you go. The problem is, so if you buy, the likelihood of the store or the property being what you want for that location is not high. In fact, the likelihood of that location being complete bumpkus is super high. And so when we're looking at these properties that are for sale, the more realistically priced ones we would have to build. Let's say we found a commercial or a mixed-use piece of property for $300,000. Let's pretend that we could build a commercial building, a mixed-use commercial building, for $700,000. I'm throwing numbers out. I don't know if that's a good number. So you're looking at $1 million. Well, that's fine. The problem is, how much time is it going to take between buying the property and starting the build to completion? How much time and how much money is it going to take to get the loan and then actually have a store where you can start selling things? And yeah, we could sell things online, and we are going to be selling things online very soon, as a matter of fact. But that's a major gamble in the idea of how successful can you be with online sales. And I'm not, and it's not just a question of whether or not you can make enough money to survive with a much higher price point, but location is also going to end up being a big deal. For example, one of the two places we were looking at was Georgetown, which is a suburb that is north on I-35 in Williamson County of Austin, right? The place has a really cool historic square. It's the county seat. It's a very cool area, but it is demographically not conducive to the type of store that we're talking about. They have a bookstore there. The bookstore there, I've spoken about before. The bookstore there is, their image is very bougie. They're very, you know, we have potato chips in our cafe from Europe, as opposed to, you know, Owl potato chips or Lay's or something like that, or Golden Flake. But the demographics, like I said, don't really, there, it's an older demographic, it's a more conservative demographic. And just today a news story broke about like their high school wanting to fire a librarian because she refused to remove like 150 books out of the high school library. And I'm sorry, that's really not the demographic that we would be catering to. So we would have to rely on people coming from outside of the community to shop at the store. I'm not saying it's not possible. It's very possible. Anything's possible. But I am saying that it's not realistic. You know, where, look, do I want Fat Tracks to be a beacon of freedom and resistance and Damn the Man and Rage Against the Machine and everything else? Yes, absolutely. But the rent's got to be paid. If we can't sell a book, if we can't sell a record, because no one's going to shop there, or, you know, we're relying on people coming from 20, 30, 50 miles away to come and shop at our store, that's not super realistic. It's just not. So one of the places we've been looking at is Round Rock. So Round Rock is a little bit further south on I-35, still in Williamson County. A bit more, I don't want to say progressive, a bit younger. And because they're a bit younger, they're less conservative, and I put that in quotes, conservative, because the reality of it is that modern conservatism in this country is not conservative at all. It's less that, more, I don't want to say hippie, but I don't know what other word to use, hippie. And, but, once again, we're walking back into the question, do we buy and adapt, or do we lease and then buy later on? So, kind of leaning towards lease, just because I think it's more realistic, but we're not there yet, so I don't know. But we've got numbers on both sides, and we've got access to Alliance, and I'm going to have access to Angoram this weekend, so we'll be able to finish up the numbers, get the paperwork ready for the loan, and get going. So that is the update on the store. 15, 17 minutes of me rambling, however long it's been. I don't even know. But that's you know, what's going on there. So with that in mind, we move on to the next bit. Now, the reality of it is that, and that's one of my favorite phrases, so you're going to hear me say that over and over and over forever. The reality of the situation is that we do not live in a bubble. And the current climate in this area and in this country is that whenever you turn on the news, if you are not watching, I don't want to say turn on the news because that's not helpful. Whenever you pay attention to what's going on, there you go. It is like a dumpster fire that's just getting worse. Like there is no off switch in the insanity of how crazy all of this is. And I had a thought, and it's one that I want you to chew over. And that is one of the biggest problems with every major politician that we have in this country is that none of them, literally none of them, well, I don't want to say none of them, almost none of them, all the ones at the highest levels, none of those have ever had real jobs. You know, if you think about it, people like Donald Trump, people like Elon Musk, you know, people like his cabinet members, none of them have had real jobs. None of them have dug a ditch. None of them have taken out the trash. None of them have mopped a floor. None of them have had to deal with customers 6 to 8 hours a day yelling at them nonstop. None of them have had to answer a phone and explain to people that I understand that it's expensive, but unfortunately that is the price that this is. They literally have never had a real job. And because of that, none of them have any understanding as to how people actually live. And since these people have massive influence over the propaganda that is pushed out by major media, they make assumptions and, well, Social Security must not be important because I'm not going to take Social Security. Of course you're not going to take Social Security. You're worth like $24 million. Why would you take Social Security? You don't need that. Heck, you've never had a job, so you've never paid into it, so I don't know why you think you're going to get any. But when you hear the dumpster fire that's going on, and I've got more thoughts about it, and we'll, you know, unfortunately, if you listen to this, you're going to hear me talk about it more than once. But the biggest problem with all these people is that, like I said, they haven't had real jobs. And because they've never had real jobs, they've never experienced the problems that come along with living a normal life. And because they're in control of propaganda, of the propaganda that permeates this country, and that's something else that one of these days we'll talk about, because they're in control of the propaganda that influences this country, they make it sound relatable that they don't know anything about living a normal life. And that's, you know, that's today's two cents about this. That's this week's thought. I've got plenty of other thoughts, and I actually argued with myself about whether or not I was going to talk about this as opposed to the insanity of making people disappear. But I think that the best start is to just, like I said, point out to you, to anyone listening, to anyone that will listen, that people like RFK, RFK Jr., people like Donald Trump, people like Elon Musk, they have never in their lives ever had a real job. These are not people that know anything about how any of us live. And that's a very good starting point so that you understand, so that other people understand, so that the world understands that when you're dealing with people like this, you're not dealing with people that know anything about your life. You're not dealing with people that have any concept. Think about what's her name? What's her name? Nancy Reagan? Ronald Reagan's wife? When Ronald Reagan started showing signs of dementia and doctors had mentioned that stem cell research would help tremendously, up until that point, Nancy Reagan was so against stem cell research that she used every dirty trick in the book to try to paint stem cell research as sacrificing babies. And then when she found out that this was her husband's only hope, she went on a publicity tour begging politicians, leaders, to start being serious about stem cell research. Because all of a sudden it affected her. But it didn't affect her before then. And that's the same story with everything else in your life. You know, these people never have to worry about being bankrupt from a bad doctor's visit. These people never have to worry about being bankrupt because things went south. And then when they do become bankrupt, they have access to so much other ways of gaining funds that it's nothing. I mean, how many times has Donald Trump been bankrupt? You know, he bankrupt what, 6 casinos? 6 of them. If you bankrupt your lawn mowing company, you are screwed. He bankrupts a casino and it's eh. Oh well. So yeah, like I said, that's our first stop in the rants. And there are going to be plenty of them. And it has to be. Because I don't know where else to say it. I don't know where else to talk about it. But there are so many steps in what has happened over the entirety of my life that has brought us to a point where you turn on any form of neutral, nonpartisan news and it looks like the world is ending in America. You know, there's just a ton to talk about. And there's a ton of steps that brought us here. But the very first thing, like I said, that you have to remember is that these people don't know how you live. They have no comprehension of how you live. They don't raise their own kids. They don't do their own laundry. They don't do their own grocery shopping. They don't do any of the normal things that you and I would ever do. And that's important to remember. Yeah, so let's get off that. That's a depressing topic, and I don't want to think about it anymore. So last stop on my list of things I was going to talk about was the social media stuff. So starting probably tomorrow or Saturday, tomorrow being Friday, I have no idea when I'm going to have this edited, so tomorrow might be Sunday when you listen to it. Starting either Friday or Saturday, I'm going to start live streaming pretty much everything. You know, more Instagram posts, more. We're going to start live streaming stuff, having stuff pumping out to YouTube. If you're listening to this on YouTube, then that means that I succeeded in messing with the podcasting host. I don't know if it's going to work. I have it integrated, but I don't know if it's going to work. But, you know, the aim of this, honestly, is not like some viral thing. I don't get me wrong. It would be great if we went viral for some random reason. I don't think that that's realistic. And honestly, I don't think that's something that I would want. Really, what I'm hoping for is just basic recognition. I want people to, you know, kind of have a vague, oh yeah, it's that guy from Fat Tracks, and not like, oh, did you see his viral video? Because that would be terrible. I mean, it would be great for about 5 minutes. And that's really what it is. It would be great for about 5 minutes. But I'm not particularly good at social media. I'm not particularly good at having a podcast without having, you know, Gaia or somebody in the background cracking jokes that I can work off of, which is something I should probably do, is bring Gaia on or somebody. But really, if I'm going to keep going, and I am, obviously. What we need is some sort of a, even if it's, you know, when you're flipping through Instagram and you see that one guy that you follow that you never really pay attention to their posts, but you follow them, you know, oh yeah, I know that guy. For me, it's probably the Englishman in Texas. I follow him, and I watch one out of every 30 of his clips. And that's not a knock against him. It's just, particularly right now, with everything being a dumpster fire, I don't, yeah. It's kind of one of those things where you're watching and you're going, huh, what are you still doing over here, dude? But yeah, like I said, that's kind of the plan. I don't know if it'll work, but I'm hoping it will. I think that's it on our list of random things to talk about. And I know a lot of this was me just kind of going off in the left field, mainly because of other thoughts and just being kind of out there. But, you know, I think that's it for this week. So, everybody, I want you to stay safe, be careful, look after each other, and we'll see you next time.